What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable, quality clothing right here in the USA. Because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
You're listening to Building the Broncos with Nick Kendall and Carl Dummler, Broncos Country's leading draft and scouting analysts. Get on over to MileHighHuddle.com to sound off on all things Broncos.
Welcome in. Hopefully none of those issues today. I was running solo today on that, so not today. We got Scott in the background. We got Carl here with me. I'm Nick Kendall. It's time for an episode of Building the Broncos. How you doing, Carl? Happy Tuesday. What's good in your neck of the woods?
Oh, I mean, life's good. It's been nice weather out. Can't really complain too much about life. My wife had her first weekend of drill with the Army National Guard. So she said it all went well. She survived. And so we'll see how that adventure takes off for her. But no, it's been, like I said, it's been kind of a chaotic time. A lot of time with the kids, which is nothing wrong with that. Just when you've got three kids running around and all young ones and lots of energy, and man, you feel pretty worn out by the end of it. So thankfully my wife let me sleep in this morning. So I'm really good to go for today.
Yeah, I'm envious of the sleeping in. I've probably got a cumulative 5 hours of sleep the last two nights because the little guy has crewed. Is that what it's
crewed?
Crew? Yeah, there we go. Somebody at daycare, we got a message on Friday, and lo and behold, here we are. So really anxiety driven, hearing the breathing, whistling, and everything, and then just cannot sleep. He's just beside himself. So last night from 10 o'clock until 2:30, it was an on off of setting him down, 15 minutes quiet, waking up screaming. So on top of that, my wife has a shingles outbreak, so she is in immense pain, and we are on an island out here in Seattle. So it's been if my hair wasn't gray and whitening before, this week might do it. You know, we're here. Man, a little bit. This is my escape today. So been on duty. Thank God. God bless my wife. I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow morning just because with how things have been. But I'll be on this earth. I don't know if I'll be here for the shows tomorrow morning. Yeah, enough about us. We're hanging on, doing our best. Thanks for the well wishes in the chat. Yeah, it's been a hell of a 72 hours. But we're here. We're hanging out. Good to see you. And we're going to be talking about the Broncos trade deadline, Baltimore coming up here, all this other stuff. But first, we got our guy, Papa Bear, David Knuckelrath, coming in saying, good evening, Broncos country, hashtag 10-7+. Let's go, Bo. Let's go, Bo. Let's go, Broncos. Yeah, I mean, I've had a chance to talk about it. Scott hasn't yet, but I want to hear your impressions of this game against the Panthers. I know it's the lowly Panthers, one of the worst teams in the NFL, but, I mean, that's what you're hoping for. Bo Nix was balling. I'm not a believer, you know, fully yet, because I need a large sample size against a variety of opponents, blah, blah, blah. But like, hello, that is what we're looking for.
Hey, yeah. Sorry, one of my kids decided to walk through in a second. But I love the game for Bo Nix, obviously. His best game as a pro. He looked very comfortable in everything he was doing. A lot of down-the-field throws that he hasn't had in a couple of these games where – he had the easier throw to take And he decided, nope, I'm going to take it second level, third level, wherever it may be. And really, if you look at his stats, it's probably the worst stats he could have had for that game, for the type of game he had. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple big drops there. You could maybe even make the argument that there were three big drops. Cortland Sutton had one on an end cutter that it was going to be a tough catch, but it was right on the money. I mean, just right here. If you're just listening, it's right in front of my face. That's exactly where you want it, where you can just get your hands up, watch the ball straight into your hands. And I get there's a defender right there, but that's if you're going to be your number one wide receiver, you got to come up with those. And then, of course, the Franklin drop, that's the worst of the two. Yeah, just went. he made a basketball hoop. It was good.
I was gonna say, it's good from deep. Yeah, Caitlin Clark, that one from the logo.
Yeah. So those kind of things, it just continues to show you the lack of weapons on this team. That even if Bo Nix is perfect and does great, there's still going to be some struggles on offense just because he doesn't have the weapons to take advantage of a good day. But talking about taking advantage of a good day, we got Michael coming in saying, good evening, Nick and Carl, I'm building the Broncos. Go, Bo Broncos. Yes, I agree with you, Michael, and thank you so much there for the stars. And now for the rest of the team, it's hard to read too much into it. Like defensively, there wasn't going to be much that the Panthers could do. You know, when you're missing so many starters, you got this young quarterback coming back that probably has his confidence shot at this point. It was going to be a tough day for them to ever do anything. I was maybe a little disappointed in the defense, just in the idea that they gave up some touchdowns that they don't usually give up. You know, that first one, Patrick Surtain right there in great coverage, just didn't quite knock it down. And then the second one, just that drive down the field. Like, I get that they were just trying to kind of waste time. It's kind of like when the Chargers beat the Broncos. I know we don't want to talk about that a whole lot, but some of those stats are a little empty when you're looking at that. So I think the only other big negative you can take from that game, the fumbles. Yeah. Just two really bad fumbles, both of them
just leading to Sean points. Payton, right? God, yeah. He was livid. I mean, I sent it to you guys in the group chat. Payton, you know, reaming Cortland Sutton coming to the sideline saying, you're too old for that. It's inexcusable, like in his face coming onto the sideline. Sorry to interrupt, but Sean was pissed after the game for them. God bless him. I was annoyed too. I mean, I feel like we're finally at a point where I don't know, Carl, I'm kind of always critical, right? Always thinking like what you can tinker with and improve. It's one of the reasons I love team building so much, right? What can you kind of change year to year to keep improving the roster? Same game flow wise. And I'm glad that Sean Payton was so hypercritical coming out in the press conference, even the post game press conference and the Monday morning one as well, because if we had come on here and been like, you know, the run game, not very good from Denver. What's going on? Javonte looks slow again, not really getting much push up front. 14 points off of turnovers, the two fumbles, but we won 28-14. What do you have to complain about? Well, the boss is pretty ticked off too. So, I mean, I feel validated for that. Maybe that's appeal to authority. I don't know. Denver, that was a lowly Panthers team. And Denver did what they should have done. They should have won by more. Probably should have been 35-7. But they got to play better, and they can play better. This is one of the games I talked about on Monday. Old ball coaches love ones like this. You win it pretty comfortably. You know, you do a lot of good things. Best game again from your young quarterback. There's so much on the tape in the film review that you got the W. You feel good about that. We can improve here, 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 and here. Learning moments, teachable stuff. A coach like Payton and the coaches he's brought in probably love that situation. Plenty of learnable things that they're not going to get too full of themselves going into easily the toughest three-game stretch this team has had all season.
Right. And we got Phil coming in here with some stars saying, good evening, Nick, Carl, and Deacon Scott. Nick, you and Scott need to steal that sign Carl has behind him. Hashtag Buckham, hashtag MHH for life, hashtag Broncos for life. Yeah, I've got a pheasant's breakfast we do every year for the opening pheasant season. Our youth kids will put it on, and we put that sign outside and, hey, come eat some breakfast with us. Come get some biscuits and gravy and bacon and eggs and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, we usually have to get there at like 4 in the morning to start making food because those hunters want to be out there as soon as that sun breaks, kind of thing. But I might have to send that sign after we get done with the thing your guys' way in the mail here. But and then we got Ralph coming in saying Bo has had 8 games to develop. I'm not considering him a rookie anymore. I'm very grateful he had time to develop before this point in the schedule. I hashtag Bo believe. I do kind of wonder a couple of those early games, you know, the Steelers, the Seahawks. What would the Broncos look like today against them compared to weeks one and two? Now, you got to play your schedule the way it's written. You know, you're not always going to get those softball teams early on. And maybe you lose to them because he's not quite ready kind of thing. Maybe they're losing to Carolina week one when he's not where he is today. So it's great to see that he's made this progression, that he's getting to some of those second and third reads and not leaving the pocket like we saw earlier in the year. He's doing a better job, at least in this last game, of setting his feet. And he was very accurate in this one. Like, there's a difference between completing a pass and completing a pass that actually can do something for the receiver. And this is one of those games where he was actually hitting receivers in stride. You know, you saw those couple down the sideline on those in crossers, the Adam Troutman on one to Cortland Sutton on another, where you gave them room to actually run, go pick up another 20 yards after the catch. And that's what the Broncos need. They have not had that most of this season. You know, they might complete a pass, but it stops right there. So yeah, it's great to see that. He just has to show he can do it more than just one week at a time.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing for me in this one was the mention of the footwork. Now, this might be because the Panthers are absolutely inept at rushing the quarterback. So Bo, he didn't look pressed at all. Something that's just been really frustrating watching him. He's just gotten a lot of happy feet and feeling ghosts in the pocket with pressure when they're not there, and like drifting into pressure, not setting his feet, and just not playing within the integrity of the pocket that the offensive line is, for the most part, setting up. Not perfect, but I mean, one of the top 10 pass blocking offensive lines in football so far this season. And in this game, it didn't look like he felt pressure. The Panthers didn't really bring heat or anything like that either. And he was able to sit back there and, with the better footwork, you know, being calm back there, deliver more accurately. So hopefully that continues. I don't want to be, again, a negative naysayer or anything, but like, just because Bo is here for this game doesn't mean against Baltimore he's not going to have the worst game of his career so far, right? He's still a rookie. Progression is not linear, and it's also not guaranteed. So hopefully he can continue to stack it, and there are obviously good things to build on here. And confidence is key, but there's going to be – he's still a rookie. I know we just had the super chat mention that, you know, I don't consider him a rookie anymore. He's still a rookie, but there'll be – some lows through the second half of the season where he's like, WTF was that throw? And there'll be some highs as well. We just hope to continue to see incremental improvement over the broader sample size. Right? What's the trend line, right? Because you'll have the dots here, good game up here, bad one down here. If the trend is progression, that's a good thing. And that's all you can really ask for. And a lot of here in the chat, we're talking about the Broncos adding to this team. What do they need? Everybody's pretty much right. As far as this team immediately, what do they need right now? Playmaking weapons on offense. I think that a lot of people, just from the value of it, a wide receiver would be awesome. Heck, man, a great running back would change things too. Because, I mean, McLaughlin is good for the role that he has. Estime has some promise if he can hold on to the football. And Javonte, 1 year left. So, I mean, they need something that they can run the offense through. It doesn't necessarily have to be a wide receiver per se, but that's something this team is going to be hunting for. We got Cody coming in, all says horn whining after the game was funny. Yeah, man, it's the NFL. I love Sean Payton. It was even funny with Sean's comment. Don't like it, stop it. You know, it's the NFL. Yeah. Things can change on a dime. So, you know, that's too damn bad. JC, I think he's probably still a little bit bummed. I bet you the Panthers are bummed. The pick right before Patrick Surtain. Man, thank you, Panthers. How things could have been different. Taking Bryce Young over CJ Stroud and JC Horn over Patrick Surtain. Same position. Wrong evaluation, man. That's rough.
Well, talking about a right evaluation, we have Manscaped. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience it?
Yeah, introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily, silky smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every time. Head over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code HUDDLE for 20% off plus free shipping.
Get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. The horn thing at the end, I think it was just a lot more. It didn't really have to deal with the score or anything of them feeling like they're running it up. I think it is just the frustration of being on a really, really bad team. A bad organization. It's crazy to think their quarterback room not too long ago was Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. And everybody at that point was going, these guys are complete trash. And now look at them. They're both good starters in the NFL, making a name for themselves. Sam Darnold probably going to get himself a decent contract somewhere here in the near future. So there's just certain organizations that unfortunately, if you go to them, I'm sorry, you're going to have a tough time having a really good career. They've got bad ownership. They struggle to hire good coaches. And then you see some of this in the evaluation process. Like you said, taking Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud. Missing on Patrick Surtain. And I'm not trying to say J.C. Horn wasn't a great player in college or anything like that. I mean, it wasn't a bad evaluation. He's been injured. That's kind of hurt his career. And he hasn't had the talent around him like what you see with Surtain this year. And Surtain was good even when they had bad talent too. So I can't say too much about that. He's just going to be a Hall of Famer by the end of this. So I get it. He's just frustrated. I would be too if I was in that situation. It's not fun to play when you're losing and losing bad every single week.
Yeah. We got Mike Gibbons coming in, $19.99. Thank you so much, Mike. Always coming in with the support, no comment, the silent assassin on that one. We really do appreciate you coming in and helping and supporting the show. It does help us on these Tuesday nights and with daycare and diaper funds through the roof over here out in Seattle. I really do appreciate it. So shout out to you, Mike. Hope you're doing well. And we also got Phil McLaughlin coming in. I see you here, Phil. He says, guys, you think Sean Payton will attack the Ravens the same way Cleveland did? I'm going to be honest with you, Phil. I did not get a chance to break down the Cleveland versus Baltimore game. I do know that Jameis Winston had a pretty good game. Cedric Tillman, wide receiver, had a pretty good game. So, I'm starting to get, the data and everything for the Ravens together, and I can tell you more about the Ravens' overarching themes on their strengths and weaknesses rather than specifically what Cleveland did. Any thoughts on this as far as attacking the Ravens the way Cleveland did?
So I did watch the game earlier today. And I'd say, one, Cleveland got a little bit fortunate, and so did Baltimore at times. I think there's probably 6 dropped interceptions in that game. And I'm not talking like, hey, they're both fighting for the football. Either of them could have come up with it. Like, hit the defender in the chest, dropped 3 on each side, if I remember right. So there was kind of a little bit there. Winston is not the same kind of quarterback as Bo Nix. So I don't think you can attack the same way. Winston, he's willing to take a few more chances, fitting it into tight windows. There was a couple of those in this past one that you're going, oh my gosh, why would you make that decision? But hey, it worked, I guess. And the two other big things, I think with this one, you use Bo Nix and his legs. Like, I know the Ravens statistically are the best run defense in football. Well, I think one of the best ways that you can help in your run game is use that quarterback. Make them have to respect that he could take off of the football at any point. That makes those linebackers freeze a little bit. Those defensive ends can't crash on every single play. So maybe it opens up a few more holes for Javonte Williams. The Broncos, I think they only did one quarterback run in this last game, like on purpose. And that was the 3rd-and-1 play. They ran kind of an RPO look, and Bo Nix went and picked up 1 yard. Nothing too big. I think they were saving some things for this one. Yeah. You kind of think of that Saints game where they really leaned into Bo Nix the runner. I think that's going to be a bigger part of this game, to really stress that defense. I mean, and that's what Lamar does too. It's how the Ravens, like, okay, Ravens, you're going to do that to us, we're going to do it right back to you. I think the other thing, having Njoku as your tight end, like, Troutman had his best game as a Bronco this last week, at least receiving-wise. I'm sorry. They're not in the same hemisphere when it comes to tight end ability. You know, that's why I've even seen here in the chat, like, hey, let's go get this guy. Like, I would love it. If we had Njoku for this upcoming game, I'd feel much, much better about the Broncos' chances. You know, he was able to distress that defense in the middle of the field, where right now the Broncos just don't have anybody that can do that. You know, Cortland Sutton does some work over the middle, so he'll be fine that way, and he'll get a couple passes coming that way. But I just wish we had a more consistent tight end that teams had to respect every single play.
Yeah, and I don't think that'll probably be coming down the tracks before the Baltimore game. We'll see what happens right as we lead up to the trade deadline. But I mean, how many teams are actually looking to trade tight ends right now? Maybe Denver can go out and get Austin Hooper for cheap, but like, that's, you know, you're just kind of copy-pasting Adam Troutman at that point, right? Like, it's not really like a needle mover. I think they'd love Njoku, but now that the AFC is kind of, well, it's how many teams have two wins, right? It's kind of open there. There's a chance. I mean, two wins is pretty hard to come back, but I mean, with how they look with Jameis Winston beating Baltimore, Cleveland wins another one, are they going to want to be trading guys in there? I don't know. So that's a tough one as well. We'll see. Denver definitely could use a tight end, and it's going to be something that's probably going to have to address this offseason as well. So yeah, it'll be tough as far as just looking at coming over the stats in this one. The big thing that stands out here for me is Baltimore didn't create any turnovers in this game. You mentioned all the dropped interceptions. I remember hearing Kyle Hamilton had a few tough ones as well. And the other aspect is, man, they stunk out loud on third and fourth down, Carl. I can't even believe looking at the stats here. Baltimore on third and fourth down combined goes 2 for 12 on the day. That's going to be pretty darn rare. And also looking at the advanced stats, their third down EPA was horrible, especially their rush. I mean, their rush was dead, -4.02, 4 points expected, losing 4 points every time they ran it on third and fourth down. So shout out to Cleveland. One thing Denver does have going for them is that Cleveland is a extremely man-heavy scheme. Now, granted, they can play man without blitzing totally as well because they got Myles Garrett. And as good as Denver's been, they don't have Myles Garrett. But Denver can play man defense, and that is something that I don't know the career splits for Lamar Jackson or the EPA against zone versus man, but I know Cleveland loves to run man. I think Denver's fourth in cover one in the NFL. Cleveland might be second or third. So I'm guessing Denver schematically might be able to do some similar things against the Baltimore's pass game as what Cleveland did. But I mean, let's be real. It's all going to come down to, can Denver do enough against the run, not give up the explosive runs, and make it so that on first and second down, they're at least stalemating against the run and making it be a drop back, you know, third and, you know, let's call it third and five plus. Like, third and seven is better, but look, third and five plus, we can live in that world. If it's constantly third and two, third and one versus Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have a bad time. So it's a tough one for sure. We got Ralph also coming and says, Baltimore is the best run defense, but we can't run with our backs anyways, but we are still winning games. I mean, Denver before last week had actually been running the ball okay. Granted, they weren't horrific last week either, but I think they entering that game, they were like fifth or sixth in rush success rate overall. So getting pretty consistent running game down to down. And I think they were top 15 in explosive runs. And where are they at right now? And I can pull up their EPA per rush as well. Right now they are sitting there at... This is great for live because then there's 10,000 filters you have to click there. But it wasn't a good one last week. Where are they at right now? They're 11th in EPA per rush. So, like, not a dynamic rushing offense, but, like, not bottom of the barrel either. It just wasn't a good game last week. Maybe that'll change, but Baltimore, really good against the run, good up the spine, bad pass defense right now, without a doubt.
Yeah. Like I said, I think there's a lot of things the Broncos can take from this last game. But another thing we want you to take today is with big wireless providers, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, monthly bills, and unexpected overages.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on limited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. So yeah, talking about the trade deadline, we did have some moves today across the NFL landscape. And you guys can tell me if I missed anything else, because again, taking care of a wife and sick baby, so time is precious. But you have Deontay Johnson going from Carolina to the Panthers. I haven't talked about him yet. How is he going to impact? I mean, I don't think he's probably going to play a huge role in this first game, but you never know. He was inactive last week with the Broncos-Carolina game. I think it was Carolina sending a fifth in Deontay Johnson for a fourth. So, I mean, not much. On granted, the salaries were exchanged as well, I believe, but not a lot. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And also the Chiefs. So Broncos' next two opponents, both adding players. The Chiefs add Josh Uche, edge rusher, kind of a tweener, kind of small body, but good bend from Michigan. Traded from the Chiefs to the or traded from New England to the Kansas City Chiefs. So unfortunately, two of the three powerhouse teams in the AFC, in my opinion, adding some strength down the stretch. And unfortunately for Denver, they play on the road against two of those teams the next 2 weeks.
So it was Johnson and a sixth for Baltimore's fifth.
Oh, so I was off around even. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Depending on where they finish this year, that could be the difference of maybe only about 5 or 6 picks.
It'll probably be more than that because of how many compensatory picks are stacked in there. Right.
Right. I'm just saying depending on how the compensatory picks play out and where they finish, you know, if they go win the Super Bowl and have the 32nd pick in every round, that makes a difference compared to if they lose round one kind of thing. So, it's interesting that both those teams added to a strength. You know, Baltimore, I mean, you could argue part of this last game, their problem was their receivers had a couple really bad drops. Like there was a 3rd and 19 play for Baltimore where Bateman broke open and it hit him. I mean, it seriously just bounced off his chest. Yeah. Now he kind of made the signal of, hey, you know, the sun was in my eyes. I couldn't see it. It happens, I guess. But still, you're a professional player in that moment. Like it was a really big moment there in the fourth quarter and he dropped it. So I think he'll help, but I'm not sure it's going to be a ton, but it's still, hey, if this is what you're going to be, a really, really strong offense that teams can't stop, the more weapons, the merrier. And talking about that, we got Cody W with $2 saying Benito should be hyped. Sacks are stacking up. Yeah, we're kind of at that midseason. We sometimes do like a midseason show, like grading, hey, who's been the MVP, who's not been, you know, that kind of thing. And maybe we'll do that here sometime. I don't know. We're kind of running out of weeks, I guess, because we really want to talk about the Baltimore game, especially if they win. But Benito, man, he's turned into something so much more than I thought he could be. You know, still has his little bit of struggles with the run game, but I think he's better. I mean, each year he's gotten just a little bit better. And as a pass rusher, he has added some nice moves to his repertoire, I guess you could say. I mean, it used to be just, hey, I'm going to win with speed. I'm going to bend around the edge, or I'm just going to run straight towards the quarterback. Now he's done kind of like we saw with Von Miller a lot of times. You know, outside rush, outside rush, outside rush, boom, big, you know, big moment in the game, inside cut, sets it up perfect and goes and gets that sack. And so I'd love to see him break even Von Miller's sack record as much as we loved Von here in Denver and all the things he did. And he had a Hall of Fame career. To know that we've got that kind of guy on your roster, I mean, that is such a weapon to have on defense. You know, you've got Cooper as kind of your all-around guy. You've got Browning. We'll see if he's with the team after the trade deadline or not. You hope that he can get back to what he used to be. You know, he's kind of struggled these first couple games back. So I need to see a little bit more from him. But just like I said, having this wave of edge rushers that the Broncos have that have a little bit different game, each of them, of what they can bring. So you can attack so many different ways. I love it. And Bonito, he's working himself into a pretty nice contract coming up here after next season.
Yeah, and Benito should be hyped. I don't know if you mean himself hyped or us hyping him, but he's been great. That speed rush he has. I mean, he's still not a dynamic edge setter, and that's going to be a key matchup coming up against Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, without a doubt. But it should be he's playing great. He's one of the best true speed rushers in the game right now. And if Denver can play with a lead and win on first and second down and get in obvious pass rush situations, he is dynamic, especially because Denver, they're one of the most blitz-centric teams in the NFL. I don't know if they're still number one in the NFL in blitz rate, but they're definitely up there. And that's creating more one-on-ones. And something Benito doesn't really have, he's not a power player per se. He doesn't have incredible length. But if you give him, you know, a one-on-one matchup where he can get around the guy, I mean, goodness, that's a big win. So, you know, not really the reactionary, you know, sit in a gap and then try to make a play. These are gap pressing defensive front right now. And that's really playing well to Zach Allen, Franklin Myers, and of course Benito as well. So fun to see. It's definitely a shift from the Fangio defense, no doubt. Eric Flynn coming in here with the support. Thank you so much, Eric. We do appreciate you. And we talked about it earlier. I do want to circle back at some point, Carl, just talk about the trade deadline some more. But just going over the stats, this is talk about a strength versus a strength. This is Denver. Denver, they're good against the run in EPA per play. They're ranked 11th this season. So that's something that maybe we'll be worried about coming out of this one. But Denver's pass defense is first in the NFL in EPA per play this season. Baltimore Ravens pass offense, first in EPA so far this season. Also, Denver on first and second down, their defense, first in the NFL. I think it's success rate. Let me see, pull it up here. Yeah, first down. Early downs EPA. Denver is first in the NFL on that on defense. The Ravens are first in the NFL on early down EPA on offense. So really a strength versus a strength in this one. And I just wrote up an article and sent it to Chad and Scott here. So it'll be published here soon. We're going to find out about Denver's defense here coming out these next 3 weeks, because I mean, let's just call it as it is. You can only play who's in front of you. That's fine. But Denver has not played quality offenses so far this season. If you look at, you know, it's not Football Outsiders anymore. It's FTN Fantasy. They have the DVOA rankings. Denver's only played one top 10 offense so far this season in Tampa. Really, if only played like three offenses in like the top 18 in the league in Tampa Bay, Seattle, and Pittsburgh. You played two of the worst offenses in football. I think the average ranking of EPA per play and the average DVOA ranking for offenses Denver's played so far this season is 20th, which is that's crazy low considering it's eight games, right? Can't be playing the 32nd team every week. So 20th, I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of the three easiest schedules so far this season for the defense. The next three games, Baltimore, Kansas City, Atlanta, all of them are top 10, top nine in EPA and DVOA. And all of them are very different how they do it as well. You know, a lot of people, you know, this is definitely the best Denver defense since the Super Bowl one. 2016 was good too, but I think this one is the way they're rushing the passer right now. They're right up there with them. We're going to find out. Are they very good? Or is this a chance it has to be the best defense in football? I mean, it really ramps up with the quality of the opponents these next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Like I said, just that, especially the next two quarterbacks. Their ability to move around, make guys miss, you know, the secondary playing so much man coverage. Can you keep that coverage going if they make that first rusher miss? You know, if you are going to blitz them and let's say, like I said, Patrick Mahomes gets to the edge, can you still handle that play? I do worry when you play so much man coverage, you know, your back is turned towards the quarterback. Lamar breaks contain. Oh boy, watch out. You know, that could be that next big long play. And I'm really hoping the Broncos don't panic when that happens a couple times in this game. But, like, the idea that you're going to hold Lamar the entire game without a single big play, I'm sorry. He's going to have at least a couple. It's can you limit how they happen, when they happen, and how much they actually turn into points? You know, I think that's one of the things that Cleveland did pretty well in this last game is that there was a couple big plays. You know, King Henry had a couple nice runs early in the game, but I think on both those big play drives for him, they end up holding them to field goals. You know, Lamar had a couple where he was able to break contain and go long. And they just didn't give up the 70-yard touchdown and then kind of let it spiral that way. So that'll be the big thing for me. I think you just got to not let those kind of things – it can wear on you. You know, like, oh, we did everything perfect, and they still made this big play. And unfortunately, Patrick Mahomes kind of does the same thing, where it's like, gosh, dang it, we had this perfect coverage. You know, I still – I think one of the plays that haunts me the most as a fan is watching him throw it left-handed. We got him, we got him, we got him. And oh man, now it turns into a first down. It just, oh man, that one, I will not forget that one anytime soon. So yeah, those kind of things. You just gotta, as a defense, say, okay, it happened. Let's get back at it. Let's keep doing it. We've been successful. We know we can be fine. And we got Cody W coming back in again saying, hoping Chiefs don't get Diggs in trade.
I don't know if Trevon Diggs is on the market or anything like that. I mean, if Dallas is selling, I wouldn't mind their tight end. Jake Ferguson out of Wisconsin. He's, I think, a third-year player, so he probably would cost you a third-round pick, fourth-round pick to go get him. Chiefs probably – I mean, they've already made two trades. Granted, not overly expensive, but, we'll keep an eye on them. I mean, I don't know. Did you see Trevon Diggs after the last game? He immediately confront that reporter because he was on Twitter, like – on his phone, and then came up and ran up, yelled at this reporter. Did you see that? I mean, I
did not see it.
Okay. Well, guys like that tended to work out in Kansas City, unfortunately, but Diggs is,
I know the other player, Brandon Cooks, put out some kind of tweet today that was kind of cryptic. I hate when players do that.
You know, wide receivers do especially.
They'll do the eyeball thing like, and you're like, what does that mean? Come on. Don't mess with us like that. It would be interesting to see if the Cowboys would become sellers. Jerry Jones, obviously pretty darn frustrated with where his team is at when people were kind of talking of them being a top three team in the NFC this year, and now look what they're doing. So it is a mess. It wouldn't surprise me if a couple players went out of there. Yeah. So since we're a week away from trade deadline, where are you at with – do you think the Broncos make a move?
I think that right now they're more likely to trade a player away from this team than they are to add someone, given where they're at in the team building process, in my opinion, and just the surplus they have. Now, granted, you're going to have to be compelled to make a move. Like, this isn't a fire sale by any means. Right. Like, you want Baron Browning? I probably need a round three pick. Maybe I'll send you like a six back, you know, or something like that. It can even be, you know, 2026 third, but how much does a six round pick with Browning giving you a fifth round pick back do for you?
Nothing.
I would rather have Browning, who is a solid player, still been injured, but like, how much are you going to be kicking yourself if, let's say, God, I don't want to say, let's just say somebody misses some time and you know, you have all of a sudden playing Tillman out there or a street free agent. And it's like, man, if we had Browning there, that'd be a big difference. So it has to be somewhat valuable to do that. And I feel the same way about Jonathan Cooper. I know Ian Rapoport tossed his name out there as well. Like, I'm talking like, I want a second round pick back for him. And is a team going to do that? Probably not. But like, okay, well then he's not for sale. You got to actually, you know, intrigue me with the deal. And then there's also DJ Jones has been mentioned by Deanna Rossini from the 49ers specifically. He's a little bit interesting because I think a lot comes to a lot of his possibility of being traded comes down to stuff that we can't see, as far as Owazurike. And if the in practice Owazurike is killing it and they're ready for him to have a bigger role, maybe you consider it. Malcolm Roach stepping up, Owazurike stepping up in a higher role, maybe you consider it. But again, it's something like, I don't need a 2026 sixth round pick. I'd rather just have DJ Jones down the stretch here than that kind of thing. So the other one who's still interesting that I think maybe it was Ben Albright mentioned today, that makes some sense. And this is where you're actually talking about, you know, a flip of late day three picks in the future. But Greg Dulcich, you know, sayonara, buddy. Maybe send him to New York where he can, you know, Nathaniel Hackett can look at his hair some more. I don't know, you know, something like that. Those are the guys that stand out. For those defensive players, again, you're in the middle of a run. Like, let's say Denver gets absolutely obliterated by the Ravens. Maybe you're a little bit more compelled to move some of those guys because, like, we beat some mediocre teams. Now we're going up against some of the cream of the crop. Oh, wow. we do not match up against Baltimore. It's not the year. We're feisty, but we're not there. If they beat Baltimore, though, I mean, you're calling for tight ends. You're calling for wide receivers. I have a hard time calling for running backs, Carl, because it's going to be a good running back class. But
right.
Well, I think a lot can change, not only based on the results of this upcoming game, but how you look in the game as well. It can be a close loss. Hey, we're right in it. If you get blown out, different. If you win, different as well. So we'll see. Luckily, we got another week left. I wish it was 2 weeks longer. I wish we'd get to week 10 before the trade deadline, but is what it is.
Right. Well, I mean, you think about playoff odds. Right now, Broncos, I think, are pretty much considered about a coin flip, 50-50.
I've seen 50-60%. Yep.
Yeah. They win this week. You've now got a 2-game lead over Baltimore.
You know, with a tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You'd have a 1-game lead, but tiebreaker gives you 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's nice that way for you. You've got some tiebreakers over. I'm trying to think who else you'd have it over.
Mostly the NFC. That's one thing that's tough for Denver. They're 3-1 versus the NFC, and they're 2-2, 1-2 versus the versus the AFC. So and you lost your tiebreaker to right now the Chargers. You get a chance to rectify that. The Steelers one could hurt. We'll see.
Right. You know, you still got Indy coming up that you could get the tiebreaker over them. So it's they're kind of free falling. Anthony Richardson getting benched after saying he was tired.
I mean, did you see that happen? I mean, he had a huge run and had to fight off a guy. Like, if he had a good day, this would be a non-story. I'm sorry. I saw that. I was like, I get it. Anybody would have been tired after that. It's like, that's like Derrick Henry coming off the field after a big run. That one didn't do anything for me.
Right. Michael brings up tiebreaker over the Jets. If they ever get it put together, I'm not really believing that they're getting it put together anytime soon. Like I said, it'd be a really, really big one. It'd probably increase your odds by 15%, would be my guess, just by winning this one game. It's a very serious game for the Broncos, and it stinks, unfortunately, with it being in Baltimore. Like, if it was in Denver, I'd feel a lot better about the Broncos' chances here. You know, you got the crowd behind you, making it a little bit tougher for them to, you know, time up everything that they want to time up that way. But no, it's... like I said, this game could make or break this season for the Broncos of what they look like or what they think they're going to be. I think because you're such a young team, so many in that organization still don't quite know what this team is. Like I said, defense looks great, but they haven't played a whole lot of people lately, especially the last 2 games against, you know, New Orleans, now with Carolina, missing their starting quarterback, missing so many weapons. It's hard to evaluate a whole lot there for your defense. Now the Tampa Bay game, that was amazing to watch what they did against them. Hopefully that's what we get to see again this week. So we're going to find out a lot about the Broncos this week, and I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It's pretty unfortunate for Denver to have these 3 games smushed together. Luckily for Denver, the Falcons have a horrific pass rush. So Bo should be able to sit back there and, you know, and feel comfortable that way, because, I mean, he might be able to sit back there, you know, make a souffle, file his taxes before the Falcons get home. But their offense is for real. I think you maybe undersold them a little bit, Carl, earlier, just because it doesn't seem like they're Kansas City or Baltimore. They're explosive and they can beat you in any way. And Kirk Cousins is so good in the pocket and delivering football under pressure that, like, I don't know how much actually Denver's, even though he's a statue, despite his 17-yard run or whatever he had last week, he can deliver the ball under pressure and get it pretty much wherever he has become like the veteran kind of guy out there. Not trick shot artist like Matt Stafford, but pressure doesn't faze him so much and he can deliver it out there. And they got arguably the best set of weapons in the the NFL, if not,
right,
them, then they're definitely in the top 5.
I honestly probably fear the Atlanta game a little bit more than the Chiefs game. At least
the difference for me is the home versus away, but that's
right. That doesn't play a part in it. But the Chiefs right now, I mean, they're winning. Mm-hmm. Almost every single one of their games is coming down to the wire, and they're making that one more play than the other team. You know,
5-0 in home score games.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's been a turnover machine this year. Their weapons on offense are not what it's been in the past. You know, they've got a really good running game. I will give them that. That offensive line is playing lights out. They're able to run the football and then do a lot of play action off of that. But of course, the Chiefs defense. I mean, that other than how the Broncos have played, you could make an argument the Chiefs have the best defense in football. You know, they are just lights out at all levels of that defense. You can't point to, hey, this is where they're really weak. Like every one of them, there, you're like, oh, that's a strength, that's a strength, that's a strength. So talking about strength, we've got Phil coming in saying, I want to win. But if they play this to a 1-3 point spread and lose, I think it will make them play even harder against Kansas City. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Staying with a tough opponent. I guess I would say with Cleveland beating Baltimore this last week, it makes me a little less excited about the loss, I guess. Like, you know, oh, shucks, we lost. But, hey, we played good. I get it. I mean, you're going to have some of those kind of games, especially as you're coming up as a team. You know, that's where the Broncos are at. They're still trying to figure out how to win games. And, you know, and the Broncos, unfortunately, they've made a lot of mistakes along the way. Like the two fumbles this last week, like they've got to clean up a lot of that crap. Super Bowl winning teams don't make those mistakes on a regular basis. And unfortunately, the Broncos just, they've been sloppy in a lot of areas that they can't be against these good teams.
Yeah. Luckily though, young team and growing, but this is going to be a lot tougher in the second half. I know before the season, Timo Riske over at PFF did a schedule analysis saying Denver needs to start off hot because they have like the easiest first 8 games of the season and then the hardest second slate. And Scott just mentioned that FTN says the Broncos have had the second easiest schedule so far this season. So Denver has not played very many good offenses. They played some good defenses, but like looking back, you know, when everybody was like, look at the Seahawks, they're great, or the Buccaneers, like those aren't really good defenses. Now granted, injuries have happened, but like they're not world beaters. The only world beater defense Denver has played has been Pittsburgh, honestly. That's I can't think of any of the other ones that have been great. But we'll see. Denver is pretty much done what they've needed to do to get to this point. Only one win away from exceeding their over-under. And despite what Vegas is saying, with I think was a 9.5 point spread, Carl, for the Broncos as dogs this week, they'll get a chance. We're going to need Bo Nix to play the game that he just had against Carolina again, and the offense minus the turnovers probably to make it happen. But Baltimore, I think, has given up some of the highest rate of explosive passes so far this season. Their cornerbacks are dinged up and they have just been really, really terrible against the pass. So time to grow up, Bo Nix. 8 games in, I always said from the beginning, first 8 games, we're willing to give you a pass. Now it gets real. Saying we've seen you can do it too, right? We've seen you can do it. So that's a won't bury him if he has a bad game against Baltimore. But there's some hope, and you have a chance if he plays like he did against the Panthers.
Yeah, I haven't discounted the Broncos yet when it comes to this kind of game. I think it's a more even battle than a lot of people ever thought it would be coming into the season. I mean, it's amazing listening to some of those early offseason podcasts of people talking about the Broncos roster of, oh my gosh, where is there any talent on this roster beyond Sertan? And now you're starting to look and you're like, okay, you know, these guys aren't household names, but they're playing as a unit. You know, we talked earlier today, you know, Justin Simmons, so many people are like, oh my gosh, how could you get rid of a second team all pro kind of safety? I mean, would he be better with the Broncos than what we've seen from Brandon Johnson? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, but Brandon Jones has played great.
Yeah.
He really has. He's been, he had his worst play as a Bronco this last week, the missed tackle on the fourth down.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's the worst play you can think of, that's pretty good. So like I said, it's been great to see this entire defense playing well. You know, every single level, you can sit there and say, hey, there's some nice players stepping up. Justin Cernod, man, he has been a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
It's crazy to see that guy bench for so many years, and all of a sudden he gets this chance, and he's really making the most of it. And wouldn't surprise me if Broncos are like, yep, dude, you're our starter moving forward. Like, we're going to give you a long-term contract. You're going to be the starter for the next 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, talked about it before the season. Denver has so many questions that they need to hit, you know, Yahtzee over and over again to be a playoff team. But, I mean, Malcolm Roach, killing it. Not a scrappy. Yeah, I mean, it's been unbelievable. Zach Allen getting to this level. I mean, crazy. Benito Cooper stepping up. Riley Moss, Brandon. I mean, on the defensive side, it's just over and over again. It's hits. Hopefully we can start to see that a little bit more on the offense as well. But only time will tell. And we'll see if Denver makes a move either way. This is going to be a big game. And if Denver loses, you said earlier, Carl, I'm going to disagree a little bit. I don't think it's a make or break. You can't afford to lose this game. Right. And I'm putting words in your mouth for the interpretation there a little bit. If you win this one, man, you are legit. And all these teams, because right now it's just like, oh yeah, AFC, blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, Steelers, Baltimore. Denver, whatever. Nobody believes in them right now, which, you know, the schedule's been easy. You go in and you beat Baltimore and Baltimore, people are going to start to believe. So we're going to wrap it on up here. Thanks everybody for joining us today. Make sure you're following Carl and I on Twitter. Carl's at Carl Dummler MHH. I'm at Nick Kendall MHH. Also make sure you're following us at Mile High Huddle over there. If you're on Facebook, make sure you're joining us at facebook.com/MileHighHuddle and facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. As the ticker says there underneath, please subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube, like as well, over on Facebook as well. Shout out to all our star givers today, Papa Bear, Michael Ronquillo, Phil McLaughlin. We got Ralph as well, Cody W., Mike Givens. Thank you so much. Eric Flynn, of course. You guys are killing it today. Nothing else, Carl. What do you think? Any final thoughts here? Trade deadline, Baltimore, cap on the Panthers game. What do you think?
Yeah, I think when I was saying it's make or break, I think it's more for the trade deadline. You go win this one, it is a make. Like, go spend a third-round pick on Njoku. I'm okay with that. He's only 28. He could be in your long-term plans, and he could really make or break this offense. Just having that second weapon that teams have to worry about, that's where I'd be. Like, you win that game, you're on the plane ride home going, Cleveland, like, what is it going to take to get this done? We want it to happen. So just excited for this game. I see some people saying score predictions since I won't be back on before we get to the weekend. I will say.
And we won't hold it to you for the final one as well.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of things change once you get like injury reports and
somebody asked about Sertan's ankle. I don't know. Wednesday's when the injury report comes out. I think it'll be okay, but like we'll have more information soon.
Yeah. So I'll say 27-24 Baltimore in this one.
Yeah, cover the spread. Hell yeah.
I'll take it. I think it is going to be a close one, but I think the Broncos are going to come just a hair short in this one, unfortunately.
Yeah. We'll see. It should be a good one and a real test for Denver. Is this a team that, you know, feisty, but still a season or two away? Or is this one that, you know, top defense, number one in EPA per play in the NFL right now, number five in DVOA. You have a great game against Baltimore. Narratives change and a belief changes as well. So, really tough stretch for Denver. And I mean, the fact that these games matter and there's some belief, right? Long stretch of where this team has been in recent history. So, man, fun, exciting. This is the games that you want to play and be in. So, appreciate everyone. Have a great rest of your night. Continue to choose kindness and compassion. Go Broncos.
You've been listening to Building the Broncos. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com to keep the conversation going.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer. Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.